Chapter 13. The Verdict.
Wait! I call to the king before the guards drag us away. Shouldn't we be rewarded for figuring out the mystery?
The king hesitates.
Well, I guess. Perhaps I will take a year off your 10-year sentence.
10 years? This king is really into severe punishments. At least he's not taking off our heads.
No, Terry cries. You should add a year. Send her away for 11, at least.
Gee, thanks, Terry. Don't you want to know why we did it? I ask.
You wanted the ruby, Terry says. That's why. You're greedy.
No, I say. The ruby's not for us. There's a fairy named Mary Rose, and we're trying to help her. She sent us here for the ruby. It has healing properties. Minerta helped us and gave us the invisibility cloak.
Minerta?
King Lepere says.
The old woman in the woods? She's a fairy?
Yes, I say.
That might be useful, the king says, looking thoughtful. Maybe Minerta would like to be the royal fairy.
Perhaps, I say.
For alerting me to a kingdom fairy, King Lepere says, I will take an extra year off your sentence. Now you're down to 8,
he says, wagging his finger at me and Jonah. I shake my head. King Lepere, the only thing Jonah and I are really guilty of is helping the prince when we should have been helping the princesses.
Well, you did both help me, Ellie says, stepping up. Abby, you're a good dancer. And Jonah, you're a good rower.
Me, a good dancer. Who'da thunk? Jonah's scrawny chest puffs out a bit. The king stares at me.
What do you mean?
He asks.
Why should you have been helping the princesses? They need nothing.
King Lepere, I say. Your daughters, the royal princesses of Dews, are amazing young women. But you don't seem to see that.
Yeah, Jonah agrees. They're all really cool.
I see Una's face light up. Ellie's eyes look teary. King Lepere, I continue. Each princess has her own personality and interests. Ellie is an excellent chess player. Terry is a gifted gymnast. Nina likes astronomy. Twyla is a great tap dancer. Eileen loves ballet, yes, but the others love different kinds of dance. I could go on, and I've only known your daughters a few days. They should have the freedom to follow their dreams, not your dreams for them. The king looks thoughtful for a moment, but then he waves his hand.
I'm done listening,
he snaps. He turns to the guards.
Take this girl and boy to the dungeon at once.
He shakes his head.
Abby and Jonah, he mutters. What weird names.
Terry steps forward. Father, Abby is right. We lied to you and didn't tell you about where we went at night because we felt we had no choice. You don't see us as we really are. We're so much more than perfect, prim ballet dancers. We're so much more than numbers. The king taps a finger to his chin, thinking.
But 11 put an imposter in her place. That was wrong. Where did you even go?
To a chess tournament. Father, Ellie says, did you even notice I was gone? The king blushes.
Well, I...
While the king tries to think of a good defense for that, I turn to Ellie. Not easy with a guard holding my arm tightly. Did you win the chess tournament, Ellie? I ask. If she won, that will definitely prove to the king that she's capable of so much more than he thinks. No, Ellie says. I lost. Double crumbs. I lost,
Ellie adds, smiling. But it was challenging and fun, and I loved every minute of it. I came in fourth. Not bad for an 11, right? She winks. Jonah laughs. I don't shush him. Ellie's sisters gather around to hug and high-five her. Congrats, Twyla says. If you had more time to practice your chess skills, you'd be winning tournaments. The sisters turn to the king. He's gnawing on his lower lip, rubbing his chin.
I didn't even know 11 could play chess,
King LePere says.
I think that's wonderful.
Ellie cheers. Really? Yay! But, father?
Yes?
He asks. I call myself Ellie, not 11. We all renamed ourselves. One by one, the princesses tell the king the names they chose so that they're not just numbers, so that their names match how they feel inside, interesting and smart and full of dreams and passions. After the princesses are done, the king is silent. He gazes at the family portrait on the wall, deep in thought. Meanwhile, the guards hold on to me and Jonah, but they're seemingly waiting for the order from the king to actually take us away.
I have a royal pronouncement,
King LePere finally says. We all hold our breath.
The queen, your dear late mother,
the king begins,
would be so proud of you, princesses. She was like you, full of life and dreams, and she loved ballet.
He nods at Eileen.
In retrospect, she and I probably shouldn't have named our daughters numbers, but we thought it would be easier to keep track of you that way.
He shrugs.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, father, Una says softly.
When your mother passed away,
the king goes on,
I was worried something would happen to one of you princesses. So I became protective. Too protective.
The king gazes around at his daughters, some of whom are teary-eyed. The king looks choked up as well. I definitely have a lump in my throat.
In your mother's honor, in your honor, I will grant your wishes to use your new names and to follow your hearts. The law in dues will change. Now all dancing will be permitted. You don't need to only dance ballet.
Really? Twyla cries.
Really,
says King LePere. The princesses clap and cheer. Some of them burst into happy tears. King LePere hugs his daughters one by one.
Guards, release Abby and Jonah,
the king orders.
Yay!
The guards let go of our arms and step back. Prince Jean clears his throat.
Excuse me, King LePere. When do I become heir to the throne and get the ruby crown? I promised Abby I wouldn't force anyone to marry me, but I would still like the other stuff.
You're not getting anything,
the king bellows at him.
You failed miserably. But as a changed man, I'm going to grant you clemency. 100 years in prison instead of death.
Terry rushes forward. Father, he did try. And there was a sleeping potion in his ice cream last night. We tricked him. So I think he should be free to go. The king says, thinking that over. Plus, I like him. Terry adds, blushing.
Yay! Go Terry for admitting her crush. That can be even harder than dancing in public.
The prince's chest puffs out.
Really? You like me?
Terry smiles. I do. You're kind. You're smart. In your own way. She adds.
I guess you could say that.
All right, then, the king says. If three, I mean Terry, believes in you, then so do I. No jail time for you, Prince Jean.
Whew, Prince Jean says, and takes Terry's hand. She grins. Aww. The king sighs.
So many changes. Well, here's another one. I'm getting old. And my firstborn, one, Una, he corrects himself, is now 21. The same age her mother was when she became queen. In your mother's honor, I will plan to step down from my duties immediately, and you, Una, will become the Queen of Dews.
The princesses gasp. Una is speechless, her hand over her heart. She's tearing up.
Thank you, father, she says at last. I promise to be a good and fair queen.
One moment,
the king adds, and goes over to the display case. He reaches behind the case and presses something. A secret door slides open right in front of the crown.
What?
Imagine how different this would have gone if Jonah and I had found that hidden button on our first morning here. King Lepere gets up on a step stool and takes out the ruby crown. The big red ruby sparkles in the center, with 12 glittering diamonds surrounding it.
This is now yours, Una, the king says. You will have a month of training on how to rule the kingdom, and then we shall hold your coronation ceremony.
He places the crown right on her head. Amazingness! This went better than I even hoped.
Father, as the crown princess of Dews, Una begins, I plan to hold dance parties every night.
Fine, as long as I get an invitation,
the king says, and does a little dance of his own. The princesses all cheer.
I would also like the princesses to do more activities outside the castle,
Una adds, like school, or gymnastics, or even ballet for those who want to.
I like that idea too,
the king says.
Yay! Abby, this is all thanks to you and your brother,
Una says, turning to me.
Is there anything I can do for you?
Yes, I say. We need that ruby. I point at the jewel on the crown. To help our fairy friend Mary Rose get her strength back.
It's really nice how much you care about that fairy,
Una says. She takes off the crown, twists the ruby out of its setting, and hands it to me. I stare at it. The big red ruby that will help heal Mary Rose. I've got it!
But suddenly, I don't have it. The ruby is snatched out of my hand.
My heart starts thumping. I turn around. There's no one even standing close to me. What the what? I see the table move slightly and hear a male voice mutter, "Ow!"
I glance at Jonah's feet, which are still invisible. Is someone else wearing an invisibility cloak?
Who are you? I call out. Where are you?
There's no one here,
the same voice says. Then he adds,
I didn't mean to say that.
Jonah is standing close to where the voice came from. He reaches out and grabs the air, and suddenly, an invisibility cloak slides off an older man in a soldier's uniform. He has gray hair and a gray beard and is kind of weary-looking, like he came from the battlefield.
Who are you?
The king yells.
Just a soldier who wants more,
the man says, and then he yanks the cloak back over himself and disappears again.